following program is pre-recorded. Live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, this is Hope in the Night. Late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, there are many times in life, I mean probably daily, that we have to make a decision, and we're faced with this or that, or maybe there are a few that's that we have to choose. And so how do we go about doing that the right way, the a godly way, in a way that honors God?
Well, I can tell you there are many approaches that people have taken. I think you've heard of this one, taking a flower and plucking the petals from a daisy one by one until the last petal supposedly reveals the answer. This is the classic, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. But people actually do that.
Well,
now, I'm not saying they count on what the last petal was.
If you don't like the answer, you can just pick up another flower.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's it, because it's not reliable, and that's the point. That's the most unreliable way to make decisions. And, I saw something. I just had to get this little plaque. When God answers my prayers, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says, you've got to be kidding. God does actually know what's best for us. He actually has a perfect will for us. And I think the issue is just as unreliable is making choices on based on just changeable circumstances or the cries from the crowd. You know, wise decisions are made by discerning the will of God. What is the will of God? What is his will for us? And then God delights in revealing his will to those willing to do his will. And his will is clearly revealed in his word. The Bible says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So, and many people would think, oh, God wouldn't, you know, it would be trivial for him to deal with our decisions that we have to make. But that's actually not correct, based on the Bible. We all do make decisions every day. That's true. Many are of little significance. A few will change our lives forever. So do we make quick decisions by just doing what comes naturally? Or do we struggle with delay because of, it's called the paralysis of analysis? The point is on that, many bad decisions are made in life because we don't take time to discover God's perfect will for our lives. And I think it's important to state, God is not trying to play hide-and-seek as we seek to discern his will. The more intimately we draw close to the heart of God, the more clearly you will know the will of God. And as you sincerely begin to place his desires above our own desires, he will be faithful to point the way. And I think this can be the prayer of our hearts. And this is from Scripture. This is Psalm 40, verse 8. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. That's Psalm 40, verse 8. And I encourage you to, as you're listening, take your Bible And make sure that that's either underlined or highlighted. I do both. Sometimes I'll have a yellow highlighter. In my Bible, I was not raised with the Bible at all. So once I began to be exposed to the Bible and still was not yet a Christian, but I was learning that people would actually mark in their Bibles. And it's so wonderful because then you have things highlighted, potentially multiple places all the way through the different books of the Bible. And it helps you pinpoint or focus on certain key passages. And this would be a significant passage to, again, take a yellow highlighter. Doesn't have to be yellow, but that's what I do. And sometimes I will just underline with a pen, or sometimes I'll do both. But this is the scripture. Psalm 40, verse 8. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. And then if you've got a major decision to make, then pray. And you may need to pray every day. You can pray sometimes in the morning and pray before you go to bed. And what he'll do, God will give us through his Holy Spirit. He gives us a peace about what is right and a lack of peace as to what is wrong.
At Hope for the Heart, we want to support you in your ministry calling. Whether you're involved in your local church or you're a professional counselor, life coach, or just someone who has a heart to help others, we want to come alongside you and give you the tools, training, and the support you need to fulfill God's calling in your life. That's why I want to invite you to the Hope Together Conference this September. Hope Together is such an encouraging time of training, fellowship, workshops, and more with brothers and sisters who are doing similar ministry just like you. You'll be supported by fellow ministry leaders and inspiring speakers, including Lee Strobel, James E. Ward Jr., Nick Vujicic, Crystal Evans Hurst, June Hunt, Steve Arterburn, and more. Hope Together is a live stream and in-person event in Allen, Texas. For best pricing, sign up today at hopetogether.com. That's hopetogether.com.
Do you ever struggle to believe that God loves you, that he accepts you, forgives you, and sees you as his precious, beloved child? So many people have a distorted picture of God, that he is distant, disappointed, or doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. The truth is, God cares about you more than you know. We want to encourage you to check out June Hunt's popular devotional, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. In this 31-day devotional, June Hunt provides compassionate, biblical insight to help you understand and embrace the life-changing identity you have in Christ. Each day provides a biblical truth along with a short reflection and journaling questions to help you see yourself through God's eyes. We give this devotional to every caller on Hope in the Night because it has changed so many lives. Get a copy of June Hunt's devotional for yourself or a loved one at junehunt.org.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about any of the topics on the program tonight, for example, tonight we're talking about decision-making, as June mentioned that in the first segment there a few moments ago, and that's called Discerning the Will of God. That's decision-making, discerning the will of God. Just call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They're happy to help you access the right resources for you. And again, their number is 800-488-HOPE. Spelled out, that's 800-488-4673. And you can talk to them about what resources will help you the most in whatever situation you're in. Also, you can email them any of those questions regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. That email address, customer support at hopefortheheart.org. Let's get to our caller for tonight, and we have a listener in Texas listening on KCBI. We welcome Amy.
Hello, Amy. Welcome to Hope.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. How can we help you?
Well, I have three questions that I want to ask you about getting ready to go out on the mission field. And I know my parents in my adulthood told me that they believe that that's what God's main purpose for my life was, to be a missionary. And so I thought maybe I might need to share a little bit about my backstory of my missions work so far before asking my questions.
That would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So I started going to a missionary program at my church when I was just 3 years old, called Girls in Action. It's a missionary program that my church had. And I got saved when I was 8 years old. And a year later, I answered a call to be a missionary. And so I started preparing my life, even back then, to go to the mission field. Mm. I'd always wanted to serve children in the Appalachian Mountains, telling them about the Bible. As a child, that's one of the things I wanted to do. So growing up, I did missions work with my church. We used to go down to Mexico, and from the time I was probably in fourth grade until like seventh grade, and the kids would have vacation Bible school, and the men would build a church while we were there. We worked with a certain missionary that was from my home church serving in Mexico. So after that experience throughout my college and high school and college years, I had my previous youth minister. I went to go visit he and his family every summer in Mexico City where they were missionaries. And not only did we do, like, missionary things, but also got hands-on experience of what it was really like to live on the mission field. When I was in college, I was involved in a nursing home ministry and a clown ministry. And soon after college, I volunteered with a ministry called Covenant House, and we helped teenage runaways find a shelter or sometimes even to get them back to their home.
Mm, how wonderful.
It was a very good experience.
Yes.
Not long after that, I got married, and that guy told me that he was called to be a missionary, and I thought, oh, this is, God's really working everything out. It's the perfect situation. But then he decided to have an alternative lifestyle, so that resulted in a divorce.
Oh, wow.
And
so sorry.
Thank you. I still wanted to go to the mission field, so I decided that I would go back to college and then to seminary. And, June, I'm not going to say which denomination it was, but at the seminary, I learned that in the eyes of the mission board that I had so longed to serve under that I was not suitable to be a missionary because I was overweight and I was divorced. And, of course, I tried to convince them that there was some country somewhere where overweight women were divorced that needed Jesus, but they didn't buy it. Anyway, a year into seminary studies, the Lord did call me to go serve in Nigeria, and I was going to be serving as a principal at a Christian school and admin and teaching at a Christian university. And I was going to be in New York City for a few months, serving in a church there before I left for Nigeria. Mm-hmm. But I arrived in New York City on September 10th, 2001, and, of course, 9/11 happened the very next day. Because of that, I was unable to travel to Nigeria because the whole world kind of shut down for a while.
Yes.
Then I returned home, but I finally did go to Nigeria a few years later. So, and really, it was a real blessing to be in New York City during 9/11. It was a special time to minister to people. Mm. An experience that I would not ever want to trade for anything. So when I did come home from the mission field, though, I served in my city where I lived in my apartment complex. I got to live rent-free for being the missionary and there teaching Bible study and having events for the residents each month. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, I felt a call to go to certain people groups that are living in vans, traveling around the U.S. A lot of them have this lifestyle report that they're trying to find their purpose and their center in life, you know, and they use a lot of yoga and meditation and those type of things to find who they are. When I heard about this group of people, I felt like the Lord impressed upon me that I need to go out to minister to these people and to speak the truth to them that their center will always be empty without Jesus. So now, fast forward, since that time until now, I moved home to take care of both of my parents until they passed. And I sold their home because I couldn't afford to make that house payment. And I bought a van with the plan to go out on this call. And just when I was getting ready to leave for the mission field, I fell out of the van and I broke both of my legs.
Oh.
Yes. Wow. And so I did live in my van locally for about 9 months, but I needed surgery on my broken ankle. And so I had to buy a small home so that I would have room to walk around and heal from the broken legs. You know, there's not a lot of room to walk around in a van. So, but I'm all healed up now, and I'm ready to attempt to go to the mission field to do what I believe that the Lord has called me to do. And I actually have no reservations at all about doing the work that the Lord has called me to do, but I do want to make sure that I'm doing this in the right timing and with the right plan. And the reason I question this, the main reason, is because I have a small resource that will end in another 2 years. And without that resource, I won't be able to afford my home. I know financially the best thing I can do is to move out of my home, which will allow me then to save up to purchase possibly a more reliable van. Mine's kind of old, so that I can do missions work and possibly get another place to live. So that if I want to do missions work less than full-time later, I'll have that opportunity. So my three questions. Are you ready for those?
I'm ready. I've got my pen in hand.
Okay, so my first question is that I feel like I need help with this. Am I running from the problem to having eventually sell my home, or am I truly running toward what God has called me to do? Of course, my heart is to do whatever I can to serve the Lord, but I also know that living in a van is not the only way I can serve the Lord. Could the fact that I have a van and the timing of selling my home is just happening to work out in my situation, can that be a confirmation? Or is it? Am I just trying to placate myself to be okay with having to sell my home? And I don't really know how to answer those questions. So my second major question is, because I'm unsure of how everything's going to work out, like who's going to help me move, who's going to help me sell my house, those kind of things, how do I move past that type of questions? Because I get stuck thinking about it, then I get afraid that it's not going to work out, and then I kind of freeze and don't do anything at all. I don't make plans or anything. And then the last issue is that I'm a very determined person, and I already sold the house and, you know, bought the van and had the broken leg situation, the 9/11, lived in Nigeria. I did all of that, but I wonder sometimes if my determination also gets in my way of wanting to answer the challenges that are sometimes present in ministry. How can I know that I'm waiting on the Lord's timing or if I'm getting in my own way?
So the last one is it God's will or is it your will? You're a determined person. In other words, you can make a commitment and keep it. That's what I'm hearing, that you can decide I'm going to do this and you have the determination to get it done. But are you asking for number three, but is it for sure God's will? Is that the question?
Yes.
Okay.
I, without a shadow of a doubt, know that I'm called to do missionary work, but that is a huge way. There are many huge ways you could do that without necessarily selling everything I own and going. If that's part of God's will, is, you know, of it, yes.
Okay. Well, there are certain principles that are very helpful to discern not only what to do, but the issue can be when to do it. It can be the right action, but the wrong timing. And God knows that, though. I think let's consider several non-negotiables, and you would agree with me on this.
Okay.
Your decisions need to be based on God's revealed will. And that means instead of, you know, me just looking at what I'd like to do, but what is God's will, and how does he reveal his will? We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Your decisions will receive God's blessing when you are willing to obey him. The Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. That's Isaiah number 1, first chapter of verse 19. And what, you know, there are a lot of people. It's interesting you're talking about mission work. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, and perhaps you too, but if I give my life to Christ, I'm afraid he'll send me to Africa to be a missionary, or I'm afraid he'll send me off somewhere to be a missionary. And what I always say is, if it is his will for you to be a missionary, he's going to change your desire, because he is not going to give you something that you're going to go, oh, no, I don't want this. And the Bible is very clear about that he will give us the desires of our heart. That was one of the questions I had early on. One of the first big questions is, I was concerned, well, if he gives us the desires of our heart, what if our desires are wrong? And then the answer to that is, then he changes our desires, because he wants us to line up with what is right in his sight, so that we will have his blessing.
No matter what you're facing, there is hope. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. When we face challenges at home, at work, in our family, or maybe a private struggle, it can be hard to see what God is doing. The good news is, you're not alone. If you're facing a difficult life issue, we'd love to help. Give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17 to talk with June Hunt on the Hope in the Night broadcast. You can talk with June about any issue, whether it's family, anxiety, anger, grief, or just the everyday stress of life. June would love to hear your story and offer help and hope through God's Word. The Bible says, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. If you'd like to talk with June on Hope in the Night, give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17. That's 1-800-644-4817. Sharing your story can be a blessing to you and others.
Hi, it's Dr. Eric Scalise, and I'm excited to share with you what I see God doing through Hope for the Heart. I've served in ministry as a professional counselor for over 43 years now, and I'm seeing such a hunger among the body of Christ to be equipped to address real issues like anxiety, depression, grief, trauma, and the mental health needs affecting so many today. Last summer, we hosted a sold-out training event with attendees from 38 states and 6 countries. Join me, June Hunt, George Barna, and other experts on Saturday, June 22nd, for our next event on mental health and the church. It's right here in Plano, Texas, and we'll be live streaming the event as well. You don't want to miss this. Sign up today at hopefortheheart.org/church. That's hopefortheheart.org/church.
You're listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have any questions about tonight's topic or any number of topics, we have over 100 of our Keys for Living. Those resources provide biblical hope and practical help on so many topics, over 100 topics, in fact, and something is sure to connect with you and whatever you might be dealing with in your life. If you'd like some direction on that, call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be happy to get you the right resources in your hands or maybe point you to a resource on our website that would help you with that. We recommend the Keys for Living tonight called Decision Making, Discerning the Will of God. And again, customer support is at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. If you'd like to see all the resources that we have available, just go to the website, hopefortheheart.org/store. All of the Keys for Living are there, as well as other books, Bible studies, June's resources there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, returning now to our conversation with Amy.
Well, Amy, I am actually very impressed at the types of mission work that you have done. Being on mission is very precious because if God calls you to do whatever it is and you're willing to do it, then you're going to have the blessing of God. Now, and you started very early. I didn't know that there were mission organizations for three-year-olds, but that's quite impressive.
There really aren't. I got to sit in, so just a few years early.
But okay.
It gave me that good foundation.
Sure. Okay. And you said your parents confirmed that you were called. Is that right? To the mission field or to do mission work? Is that what I was understanding?
Yes, when I was getting ready to go to Africa, my parents confirmed to me, you know, this is, of course we want you to go. This is what really God's main purpose for your life is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So going back to the first question that you asked, you know, am I running from a problem or running to do what God would want me to do on the mission field? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not hearing that you're running from problems as they are in real life. We all have certain challenges, but sometimes we have more challenges at certain times and are limited because of specific things. For example, I was diagnosed having cancer in right after 9/11, and I was surprised, two different kinds, fast growing and slow growing, and I thought, well, this surprises me. And I was actually told I could not do international. I'd been doing a lot of international work with Hope for the Heart. Our material was being translated into multiple languages. I was speaking in Russia, in Ukraine, in Romania, those being former USSR countries. But I was supposed to go to, I think it was Bulgaria. I'm not sure where. But anyway, the bottom line is they said, you must not leave the United States for several years. So that was a physical limitation. They said, we need you to not be in a foreign country with the recouping you're going to need. I did chemotherapy and all. And so, God was clearly, it was amazing to me. People wanted, it wasn't about me. They wanted our materials on over 100 topics. And and that's why they were translating them into all these languages. We're in 37 languages now. Not everything that we have, but sometimes it's an immense amount of our material. Sometimes it's a limited amount. But I do know personally what it's like to be limited to make sure that I don't leave the country. But it was physically for the best outcome for myself for the future. Now, I forget that I even had cancer most of the time these days. That was, you know, over 20 years ago. But at the time, there's no question. I was very limited in what I could do. I still did the program. After only like a few days, I just had to be very, meaning I did this program, Hope in the Night, mm-hmm. Because we were fairly new doing this program, and people prayed for me, and that was, I deeply appreciated it, and I learned volumes. But my point is, there are times when there will be a physical limitation, and it may be something that we would not expect. Now, question I have is, for you, is, are there physical limitations, are you going to, I should say it this way, are you coming under an organization that is a mission organization?
No, I'm not. Just on my own. And maybe that might be why it feels a little unorganized to me. Maybe, I'm not sure. But I do have some physical limitations that actually are getting better all of the time. But that's one thing I think about with my home. How long can I stay on the road? And do I need to do this full time? You know, and what happens if I do have a problem once I get out on the road? I try not to think about that, but it is a reality. I mean, it could happen to anybody, you know. Anybody can fall out of their van and break their legs, I guess.
Well, and there are ways to have, well, the reason I asked about under an organization, I thought you might say yes, and so that was going to be my next, I'll say, well, I know mission organizations have guidelines. They have specifics that are required, and I'm talking about from a health standpoint, and so I think, okay, you're saying that no, you weren't planning on doing that. Is there a reason why, just out of curiosity, that you wouldn't come under an organization, or is it what you described earlier?
I'm not sure that I actually even thought about it. The situation when I was in seminary, it was an insurance problem. They, you know, to get, be covered by the group of insurance that they had that covered their missionaries. Even if a missionary was out on the field and they got outside of those guidelines that they had for their insurance, they would have to come home until they could get back into that, in those guidelines. And so that's why I went to Nigeria through a friend who had a ministry there. That's mm-hmm. not the case here. And I don't know, I think I just thought since I kind of did it on my own before, I could do it on my own here much easier in the U.S. than going. I would never go somewhere foreign just by myself without okay. some type of backing or direction.
Yes. Okay. Well, I just thought that if you wanted to see other mission organizations' guidelines, just to see if there's something that would be an aim that you would want to accomplish before going, because they are highly experienced in providing the specifics that they think are important, not necessarily that you have to do, but and you may already know the stipulations. We've had, you know, different times at our own ministry. We've had, thinking right now of a man, middle age, who he took his family and went. He was employed by the Southern Baptist Convention, the mission board, and you know, he contacts us periodically, and but he's wonderfully used by God. Now, so I know that there are guidelines that multiple organizations have, and it wouldn't hurt for you just to learn what those are, just to see if there's something that speaks to you that you would want to line up your life with. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Very much so, and I honestly never even considered that, but it would be healthier and safer and more secure by a feeling like I'm going, what is my purpose as I'm going, because I think I know what I'm going to do when I get there, but not exactly. So mm-hmm. I definitely would be very open to searching out different organizations to see if I can even sign up with that organization. God might want to send me somewhere completely different than what I think as well.
Well, there are needs, as you know. There are needs all over the world. There are domestic missions, as you've already described. I remember, by the way, I was fascinated. After becoming a Christian, I was not exposed. Previously, I had not been exposed to anything regarding missions. And I was fascinated that there would be what could be called home missions, meaning not a physical home, but meaning territorially in the United States, and then there would be foreign missionaries, foreign missions, or and like there's an international mission board, and I remember I was not given an allowance, but I would be given periodically, and I'd be surprised, money to sing, I mean, like $5 or something, if I sang for a Sunday school class or whatever. I was in high school. And first I refused it. I said, no, I'm not doing this. And then they said, no, we've already made the check out to you or whatever. And then I thought, okay, well, then I'll just always endorse it to the Foreign Mission Board, because I thought, wow, to do that. So I had a heart for the international missions, and just made sure that anytime I ever received a check, it would automatically go, no matter what it was, to the International Mission Board, because of the sacrifice that I felt they were making. That was just something I did for many years. But the point is, it is wise for you to see what other mission organizations require, just like a checkoff list.
What does the Bible say about anxiety, abuse, or grief? Does the Bible really say anything about addiction, boundaries, or dealing with difficult people? As June Hunt has often said, there really are biblical solutions to all of life's struggles. We are excited to let you know about the newest and most comprehensive resource from June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart, the Care and Counsel Library. Developed over a span of 35 years with the help of pastors, counselors, and ministry leaders, the Care and Counsel Library is a 50-topic, 10-volume set of books which provide clear answers from God's Word on real-life issues. This is a must-have resource for anyone who wants to grow in biblical wisdom. And right now, you can save 25% when you get the whole set. Check out the Care and Counsel Library today at hopefortheheart.org/CCL. That's hopefortheheart.org/CCL.
We would love your prayers here at Hope for the Heart. Over and over in God's Word, the Lord reminds us to lift one another up in prayer. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you help us by your prayers. So we want to encourage you to join the prayer team of June Hunt in the ministry of Hope for the Heart. You can join the Hope for the Heart prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. When you sign up to join our prayer team, we'll send you an email each month to keep you updated with the latest prayer needs of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. Our prayer team is a great way to stay connected and support June and support the Hope in the Night broadcast. We are so grateful for the prayers and support of our listeners and friends like you who make this ministry possible. You can join our prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. That's hopefortheheart.org/pray. And thank you for partnering with us in prayer.
Listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. This is a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. Our customer support team is available at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources, and let me recommend the Keys for Living on Decision Making called Discerning the Will of God. Our customer support team is available at 800-488-HOPE. Hope. That's 800-488-4673. If you have a situation, some scenario in your life that you just have lots of questions about and want to see how God would interact with that and see what His Word says about your situation, just talk to us, and we'd like to have that conversation with you here on the program, Hope in the Night. Just call us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And when you call, leave a message for us. We'll get back to you to schedule you for an upcoming Hope in the Night and just see what questions you have and then talk to you about being on an upcoming program. That number again, 800-NIGHT-17, 800-644-4817. Well, let's get back to our conversation tonight with Amy.
Well, my friend, again, I'm not hearing that you're running away from problems. I think you're running to what you felt your call has been throughout your entire life. Is that not true?
That is true. And I'm so eager. I've always been the type of personality, I feel like God, you know, is directing me in a certain situation, and I'll take off running. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will have to catch me and say, hold it, don't jump off the cliff just yet. Wait, we have to do this. And, you know,
And there is timing.
Get ahead of myself.
Right. Well, that is where you can definitely know that if you're being called to the mission field, it has to be according to His timing. And the second question was, you said, I'm unsure who can help me, because there are going to be some physical things that are needed to be done. And, you know, if you're called by God, He will. Let me give you a scripture. I love this passage. Faithful is the one who calls you, and He will do it. Faithful is the one who calls you, or the one who is faithful calls you, and He will do it. That was the biggest surprise when I was a relatively new Christian, meaning it was like probably 4 or 5 years later, and I read that and thought, oh, it's not that I just have to figure out how to do whatever it is God wants me to do. No, faithful is the one. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, and I think it's essential that we grasp that. Faithful is the one who calls you, and He will do it. So it's in His strength, and He will actually He will put into your life people who are going to be immensely helpful. I was thinking about this yesterday. There's a fabulous couple that I just am so grateful to God for, Susan and Freddie. And they drove me to to Longview, Texas, and I did a program on Saturday, and we left on Friday, and we had multiple meetings, and then twice speaking at a wonderful church there, and I, you know, I was thinking about this coming back. You know, Freddie drives, and they will just at times, and I've never asked them, or told them. I really, you know, like they volunteer. They've both been with the sheriff's department, and they just feel called to help me, and we do prison ministry together and all that. But the point is, I did not initiate any of that. It was initiated by them to come alongside and do so many things, and we have a precious, God-blessed relationship. And I think that's what God does, is he, when he calls you, he will equip you. Does that make sense?
Yes, for sure. Yes.
Good. Well, if you're called, then you can know that it's just he will put into your mind, he will guide you in the way you should go. And what's so precious about that is it is truly his initiation, because most people are not so eager to go to the mission field. I mean, this is not the norm. And all the more, it's precious when you see the fruit and there will be fruit. It'll be a blessing that you'll watch the Lord literally enable you to do. So that passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So you don't have to worry about all the details. Now, you need to plan. And I'm hearing that you are a determined person, and I hear that you can plan. But it is, and this is why it could be, if down the road, it might be, you would be with a mission organization, because there are all kinds of missions. And you've already described the different, some of the kinds of missions. It could be helpful for you to come under the wing, if you will, of a mission organization, and there, because I'm concerned about, you know, after the 2 years when you've indicated there was money coming that has come in, but that will be gone after 2 years, and I'm hearing, okay, you've sold your house, you've got a van, and you're planning on living in that. Explain to me, how do you do that when it's like, I know I live in Dallas, Texas, and I know it can get very hot. How does that work?
Well, in my last van, I had an air conditioner put in. If anybody is wondering what in the world van life is, all you have to do is go to YouTube or Instagram and type in van life. People, I haven't done this with mine, but people build out a van and it looks like a little apartment in their miniature apartment. Put a heater, and some of them have put bathrooms in, or they use like if you're going camping for your toiletries, things like that. But it's very freeing way to live. And since I don't have a family to be responsible for, you know, it's a good opportunity for me to go, and I just kind of feel like I'm wasting my time sitting at home, not going and doing that. So that's one of the reasons why I think I feel rushed myself. But
okay. Well, I'm going to give you some, I'm going to send you our keys on decision-making, and there's a section that is going to be very helpful. It's under our solutions. We have definitions, characteristics, causes, and solutions. And this is under how to discover God's guidance. And first would be gifts, meaning spiritual gifts. You reflect on what do you really enjoy doing. Well, I'm hearing what you really enjoy doing, and that is mission work. And like writing down the past accomplishments that have brought you joy, because the Bible says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. That's 1 Peter 4:10. And then there's like understanding. Do you know all the facts? Take time to clearly discern what the decision is about and what is involved. Are you aware of the consequences of choices? Is there a deadline for the decision? Am I making decisions based on guilt? Well, I don't hear it's based on guilt. But the point is, learn as much as you can, but you haven't yet decided. Well, you have options, and there are other options that you probably don't even know about at this point, and you've admitted that, or not admitted,
yes,
but you've agreed with that. Then
I admit it too.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, the Spirit of God also brings conviction, establishes truth in your heart, and these are the impressions that you receive through strong impressions of his thoughts or principles regarding a matter. You pray for God to speak to you about the matter, and it can be considering a time of fasting if you're led to do so. Spend time literally asking God to confirm your impressions even through another source. And the Bible says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me, meaning he instructs us with what to do, Psalm 16:7. I've mentioned about the desires. He will give you the desires. Take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And just pray, Lord, may I see my sin as you see it. May I hate my sin as you hate it. If there's anything that is off, I need to know what it is. Find scriptures that promise his strength for your weaknesses. And then advice. This is, well, I guess you've called for advice. And that would be next. God often speaks to us through others. And your wisdom is increased by seeking counsel from people who are grounded in the Word of God, mature in godly wisdom, and living successfully, having overcome similar circumstances. And we're told, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom for the future. It's Proverbs 19:20. Now, you've already answered this next one, necessity. See, if you had young children at home or very elderly parents who needed care, then you would need to wait. But you've already said that this is what you did. You took care of your parents. You moved and took care of your parents, and both of them now are with the Lord. And so you look at what is necessary. But moving a long distance away, you have to evaluate, you know, what do you need to do if you are, if God is leading you, what decisions do you need to make? In terms of circumstances, not all doors are opened by God, but closed doors can help determine your way, at least for the present. So circumstances are to be considered. They are not the final answer. Learn to see beyond the circumstance and do what God wants to accomplish in your life now. And when unsure about an open door, pray for God to close the door if it is not his will for you. Those are key points to consider, but we'll be sending you our keys on decision-making, discerning the will of God.
We will send our keys for living on decision making called Discerning the Will of God. Send that out to tonight's caller, and we do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep those resources going out and to keep this program on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/givehope, and we thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, our program can be found on all major podcast platforms. Until next time, June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.